Hello out there, this is Klaus Ehrenberg speaking. Also on behalf of the entire IR team, I would like to welcome you to our today's conference call. All the documents for this call are available on the IR section of our website. A replay of this call will be available shortly after the call. Here with me in the room are Heinrich Hiesinger, CEO, and Guido Kerkhoff, CFO. And the agenda for today are as follows. First, Heinrich will expand on the latest strategic developments of ThyssenKrupp. And then Guido will give you a more detailed insight into the numbers of Q3. Well, I would say let's start with the call. I would now like to hand over to Heinrich.
Yeah, Klaus, thank you very much, and welcome to all listening to us to our Q3 conference call. Let me immediately jump on page number 2, where we have summarized some of the highlights, and you can read the headline. Our clear belief is that we are on track to achieve our ambitious targets. Some more insight on the growth side, we could report the highest order intake and sales in over 2 years. And positively, our book-to-bill is larger than one, so we could really accumulate some backlog. On the profitability and cash side, we continue the road we have started. We could see a further improvement clearly in our Seal Americas and consequently for the group as a whole. Our CapEx is under control. We achieved the lowest CapEx in over 4 years. And part of that, but also in other effects, we could report the first positive free cash flow in over 6 quarters. And out of that, we believe that we have really passed the peak of our net financial debts. On the execution side of our strategic plans, we are in full execution. I give you later some details. On a target side, with our operating performance in the first 9 months, we are on track to achieve our ambitious targets. Naturally, our environment is not totally favorable. Given the pricing softness in U.S. market for steel and the development in the capital market, we believe that we clearly have to say to you that we need to consider a more pronounced wait-and-see attitude amongst some of our buyers, leading some pressure on the spot business and prices. And you know that the spot market in U.S. is clearly important for us, that due to the ramp-up phase of our America's steel plants, virtually 100% of our today's material is sold via spot markets or service centers. So clearly, our target aims to limit EBIT loss at Steel Americas to a higher three-digit million euro number, and our operational performance fully supports this. However, we cannot fully exclude potential negative price and volume effects. Nevertheless, group target for adjusted EBIT is still around 2 billion. Naturally, achieving the targets, we depend on the further progression of the development in the financial markets. However, given the relatively short way to go, we assume today for our current fiscal year, which ends by end of September, that potential ripple effects on the real economy should limit the impact. So far, including July, we have not seen any effects. With that, I would like to give you some more highlights related to the business areas on page number 3. For Steel Europe, I think we can all say this was a very successful quarter. We have indicated to you we were not sure whether we can fully compensate the higher raw material prices, but overall it turned out that we could achieve higher average revenues per ton and fully offset the cost increase. In Steel Americas, probably you're not fully satisfied, but again, we could significantly reduce the loss reduction in the third quarter. Stainless Global clearly was impacted by the nickel price development, but in a very, very difficult environment, they have a positive underlying EBIT if we do exclude the 29 million of ramp-up costs for Stainless USA. Material Services continued another strong quarter. The earning is supported by a real robust consumption. On the elevator technology, probably here we are fighting very hard. We could increase our earnings slightly compared to Q2. We are a little bit more impact than some others because we have leading positions in U.S. and in Southern Europe, And these are challenging markets right now, so we are very happy that the team could defend the earning levels. Plant technology, here you had concerns in last quarters, what happens on the volume side. Here we could record the highest order intake in sixth quarter. And component technology continued to lift up EBIT. They did achieve highest EBIT in 2 years. And in marine systems, we finally now could book the submarine order from Turkey with a volume of around 2 billion. Let me come to the strategic way going forward on page number 4. I can only report to you that execution implementation is done with full speed and attention. And as already explained to you last time, in order to really make the organization moving, we have incorporated all our activities in our new company program, Impact. This allows us really to generate more dynamic and also give the program much more visibility. The program, as shown on page number 5, is really in the center of the attention of the entire board members. We are highly committed by ourselves, and so all of us have taken personal responsibility for specific elements of this program. You can see here, as described last time, there are 4 initiatives, and my 2 colleagues, Mr. Berlin, Mr. Eichler, take personal care about customer markets, Mr. Kerkhoff, myself, about performance and portfolio, Mr. Labonte-Glasen about people and development, and myself about innovation and technology. And we do make sure that we do not only trigger actions, but we also measure the impact with a well-established degree of implementation logic, and we make these part of our financial reporting and part of our monthly business reviews with the board members of the business areas. To give you some, let's say, appetite, we have selected some measures on page number 6. The first one, and I think this is clearly something which goes in the right direction, we could close the sale of the metal forming on July 20th. Then you see that on all the other portfolio measures which we did announce, really we are in execution mode. I do specifically highlight this because we clearly recognized there were some concerns after we did sale our treasury stock that this might reduce either the scope or the speed of our portfolio measures. And I can really say none of this is the case. This was a fully independent measure, but it will go to execute our portfolio announcement in full scope and in the fastest possible time. Some examples out of the other areas on innovation, we had our global technology forum, and on the people development, we are on the rollout process for our mission statement. As already told you, also our leadership team is ready to compete with, let's say, the external level, so they are in assessment, all the second and third manual, by an external personal developer. Then we are in the change of our remuneration system for second and third level, which is under review, and right now we are already in the rollout of our share price performance-based long-term incentive plans for 2,000 senior managers. Let me go to page number 7. We clearly highlighted too in our last call and in some of our investor scripts that we give you a clear indication how you can measure our progress with growth, with EBIT margins, but also with KPIs for capital efficiency. And we clearly said we could give you some insights which are the appropriate companies to compare us. And this is now, let's say, the list of competitors which we consider to be appropriate for us, that you can compare our performance with the external world. Definitely our benchmark, which we are doing, is not only related to financial KPIs only. It goes into much more details into the way how we sell products, business models, innovation strengths, but also efficiency in operation and other areas. So occasionally we will also jump on, for benchmark reasons, on our competitors which are not even acting in our field if we believe we can learn something here. On course, at the end, it should lead to higher performance in profitability and capital efficiency. On page number 8, more a summary. We continue to build ThyssenKrupp as a diversified industrial company. But as we do highlight, this should not be misunderstood. Nobody can hide within ThyssenKrupp. We will prove that individual pillars work against best-in-class performance. And we all know, Gude and myself, probably our biggest legacy in ThyssenKrupp is a much more efficient capital allocation. Here, I think our track record is not very much overwhelming. It's right in the center of Gude's and myself attention. We cannot change it immediately because we have to work down, but we know exactly that this is probably the area where you are most unhappy with us until today. With that, I would like to hand over to my colleague, Gude.
Yeah, warm welcome from my side as well, and we move on to page number 10, further improvement of the group earnings. We have a continued upward trend continued in Q3 2010-11. The order intake is now up to the highest level in 3 years since Q3 07-08. We haven't seen such a high level. Year on year, orders are up across virtually all business areas, and we have a further sequential increase in particular driven by technology-related businesses and the submarine material packages placed by the Turkish Navy. Sales increased to the highest level since Q4 07-08 again. Quarter on quarter, the increase was driven in particular by stronger sales at materials-related businesses. Steel Europe and America, as well as material services, were more than compensating weaker sales at Stainless Global. On the EBIT basis, we have further improvements in earnings. Quarter on quarter, adjusted EBIT is up by 14% to 566. In particular, driven by reduced losses at Steel Americas. CapEx, lowest level since more than 4 years, down to 516 million, and therefore the peak of net debt is behind us, and you can expect a significant net debt reduction in Q4 as well. The favorable trading conditions are reflected in our business trend. Orders increased to 14.1 billion. Year on year, we're up by 29%. Across virtually all business areas. Quarter on quarter, it's again 10% up. We had increased orders, mainly at Steel Americas, plant technology, that was up by 22%, and marine systems, the 2 billion order mentioned beforehand. This more than compensated the weaker orders at Steel Europe. They were down quarter on quarter by 19%, but still at a higher level compared to Q1, as Q2 was extraordinarily strong. Stainless Global, driven by the nickel price development, was down by 24%. Sales overall increased to 12.9 million, to the highest level in 2 years. Year on year, up by 10%, and that was driven by volume and price at steel, distribution, and components businesses. This more than compensated the nickel-driven weaker sales at Stainless Global. Quarter on quarter, we were up by 5%, although Stainless Global was down by 15%, but especially the steel businesses compensated for that. Book-to-bill overall, better than one for the second quarter in a row. Coming to page number 12, this all led to a strengthening of our structural earnings power for another quarter. Year-on-year improvements in the EBIT at a flat 566 were driven by the reduced losses quarter-on-quarter from Steel Americas, but compared to prior year, they are on a higher level, where they were last year at 130, now at 190 for the Americas business. That shows that the other businesses were improving, although we had a flat EBIT overall. Steel Americas, continuing trend by reducing our losses from 319 in last quarter, now at 190, which shows strong progress, mainly driven by Coke Battery B and higher volumes. Therefore, our earnings development show that we are, given the performance of the last three quarters, on track to deliver our guidance. Taking a look at the split on page 13 of our earnings as a breakdown by business area. Let me start with highlighting again that ThyssenKrupp is much more than just a steel or materials group, because the majority of the earnings, again, is generated by our technology businesses. Nonetheless, Steel Europe had a strong performance with year-on-year up 48% and quarter-on-quarter even up 7% with very good earnings and margins, having successfully avoided the margin softness that was as a question mark out there whether we can develop that for Q3. Steel Americas, we see the positive impact of Coke and Battery B and we passed the trough in fiscal Q1 now, and quarter on quarter we could further reduce losses. Stainless Global, quarter on quarter down to break even, but before the ramp up losses of Stainless US, we were positive at 29 million. And underlying, with that difficult environment, that shows that underlying there was still a positive EBIT coming out in that difficult market situation. Material services, year on year and quarter slightly down, giving retreating prices after the peak we have seen in April. The technology businesses overall continue to exceed prior year profitability. Only Elevator was slightly down year on year, but demonstrates sequentially improving profits despite the weak Spanish market and the delayed recovery we have to face in the U.S. Plant technology was up year on year 46% and close to peak profits and margins of the preceding quarter. Components technology was a strong performance as well. Year on year and quarter more than 20% to the highest level in more than 2 years. Marine systems, although quarter on quarter a bit down, still above normalized run rate given several aperiodic items that account for a net effect of around 30 million. If we go to page 14, we see that we have further improvements in the EBIT. Quarter on quarter increased by 10% to 545 million as a reported EBIT. Despite reported EBIT in Q3 having been negatively impacted by 21 million provision for a potential retroactive purchase price adjustment related to a divestiture in earlier years. Similar to the EBIT, the pre-tax profits went up by 55 million to 407 million. Quarter-on-quarter net income, including non-controlling interest, is therefore up by 16% to 270 million. The tax rate for the 9 months was 33%, and this is also expected to be the tax rate for the full year 2010 and 11. EPS, on a first glance, looked like down by 21%, but that was mainly driven by an adjustment for the prior quarters we had to take on the tax line according to the Brazilian tax structure. As the tax for IFRS purposes is mainly calculated on the estimated group tax rate, we had to do after a correct and more detailed analysis in the Brazilian tax structure, which is very complicated, and where we had to realize a gain, we had to do a change for the prior quarters in the third quarter, which was a tax gain in Brazil, and we had to allocate a bigger portion to minorities than in the past. So if you compare EPS, you better take the cumulated Q3 figure to the cumulated Q3 figure of prior year to get an indication. The 21% overstates the effect as it was due to the correction of the prior quarters. Coming then to page 15, we had a positive operating cash flow, which drove our strong performance mainly from technology businesses. Operating cash flow is up to 709 million after being slightly negative in Q2. This was driven mainly, as I said, by technology businesses and some prepayments we had. Material-related business areas continued to build up networking capital, especially Steel Europe and Steel Americas and Stainless. Besides the Americas, where this was mainly driven by the ramp-up of the business overall, we see that the effect in Europe from Steel Europe and Stainless Global overall was half driven by price, half driven by volume. For Q4, we have a potential to bring down inventories with a positive networking capital effect. This strong operating free cash flow led us on page 16, then compared with a slower and lower CapEx volume we had, to a positive free cash flow in Q3 to 243 million, 0.2 billion, and therefore we could reduce our net financial debt down to 6.2 billion. So we have passed the peak in Q2 we have seen at 6.5. As on top of that, we sold our shares and had proceeds from 1.6 billion. You can expect a strong net debt reduction through Q4. Coming then to page 17, the tight CapEx management going forward. CapEx expectations virtually unchanged. We see a significant decrease compared to 09 and 10. And after the 9 months, we see now we feel comfortable with the current consensus we find on the market of around 2.5 billion. As you may remember from the last earnings call we had, we saw maybe a slight deviation. Now we feel more in line with around 2.5 billion. Therefore, free cash flow development on page 18 will continuously be positive, and for Q4, we expect a significantly positive free cash flow that will be well above 1 billion and will help us to further reduce our financial debt. Coming now to the business area performance. On page 20, Steel Europe highlight. Quarter-on-quarter EBIT, as already mentioned, up by 7% to 322 in Q3, and we had an increase of especially the average revenues per ton by 4%, which increased our margin overall then to 9.2%, the highest margin we have seen so far throughout the year. Together with the management gains we had, and this all compensated the higher raw material costs. Order entry, though, was down 19% quarter-on-quarter, but it's still above Q1, and as I already said, Q2 was extraordinarily strong on order intake. Current trading conditions, continuing robust consumption at key customer groups in our home markets, Northern Europe and Germany, especially in the order-related businesses, which continue at strong levels. Stock levels seem to be in line with consumption levels. Seasonally, orders slow down in the summer period, but we expect a pickup like any year in September and October. Therefore, for the fiscal year, you can expect seasonally slightly weaker volumes, but higher average revenues per ton. Sale of the metal forming business, we closed off as of July 20. Coming to Steel Americas on page 21. Quarter on quarter, the EBIT loss is down to by 129 million now to 190 in the quarter after 378 in Q1 and 319 in Q2. This was mainly driven by volume effects. As you see, we had 880,000 tons slab production CSA, and we shipped more than 400,000 tons to USA. But on top of that, we could realize lower ramp-up costs, especially by the performance of Coke Battery B. We realized higher prices as well. Quarter-on-quarter shipment from Steel USA increased by 32% to around 400,000, a bit more than 400,000 tons in Q3. The current product mix, 80% hot rolled, and therefore the customer mix has around 95% service centers, as Heinrich already mentioned. However, the certification process with OEMs is progressing very well and in line with our expectations. The testing volumes have been shipped, and we got a very positive feedback on surface quality and tolerances. Current trading conditions, we'll continue to work on the ramp-up and stabilize the coke plant batteries and the integrated energy circle. Battery A is currently running at around 80%. Battery B, which started on April 22nd, the first push, is currently running at 70%. Battery C will have the first push in spring next year. Steel USA, we are continuously increasing our production levels, and we have progressive start of the coating lines to gradually move into higher value products and customer segments. Galvanizing line number one started end of March, continuous annealing line in April. The third galvanizing line had the first coil on July 15th, the fourth line expected to come online end of this or early next year. Currently, we see two different trends here. Spot prices have significantly come down, as you are aware. On the other side, we see us moving upwards to higher prime qualities, which we sell more and more. The long-term and the mid-term trend, we see the structural trend favorable in our view. The real demand in NAFTA we expect to further increase, and we have a structural migration of steel consumption from the north to the south. Let me move then to Stainless Global. Quarter-on-quarter order intake was down by 24% to around 1.4 billion, reflecting lower volumes and slightly lower transaction prices in Europe and Asia, was largely driven by the nickel price decline. Quarter-on-quarter EBIT was therefore down by 60 million to break even, and it was based on the weak trading activity. Having said that, the underlying EBIT ex ramp-up losses of Stainless US remained positive at 29 million. The current trading conditions in Germany the end user segments have a stable demand. We see weak trading business, but we had a slightly increasing activity since the nickel price was somewhat recovering in July. Now, in August, we're facing again that the nickel price is weakening so far. So imports stayed at a high level, and the moderate inventories bode well for a recovery after the summer. So the Christmas-driven business, we hope to kick back in September and to help the demand on the business side. Material services. Quarter-on-quarter, relatively stable shipments on a high level. EBIT was down by 14 million or 9% as increased purchasing prices couldn't completely be passed over to the customers. Trading conditions, prices for rolled products are falling since the peak in May for flat steel and April for stainless. For long products, prices stabilized. We see the buying behavior of our customers mostly order-related. We have a good EBIT contribution from the special services, which we expect to continue. It's aerospace, plastics, and mill services. And the real consumption is robust, and inventories are on moderate levels. Coming to elevators on page 24. Quarter-on-quarter order intake was roughly flat, with a growing contribution from Asia-Pacific, which increased by 5%. Quarter-on-quarter EBIT was slightly up, with a flat margin. It was negatively affected by Forex effects, lower U.S. Margins in new installation businesses, and a weaker Spanish market, but we can compensate for that by the higher performance of the Central European assets and the growth in the Asia-Pacific region. Current trading condition, we constantly work to improve our margin. The growth in the new installation market, and new installation will come from emerging markets like Brazil and China. Infrastructure projects fuel the growth, especially in China. We have orders for railway stations and subway lines. 133 escalators have been ordered. And in China, we could realize the first of two twin elevators in China. And as you know, ThyssenKrupp is the only supplier of that twin technology. Moving on to plant technology. Order intake here is the highest since Q1, 09, and 10, and could compensate for the slightly weaker Q2 we had. We had strong order intake, especially in greenfield projects in Indonesia for Holcim, capacity increase for our customers, Cementos, Personal in Mexico, and further cement orders in the pipeline, mainly in MENA, expected to come into force shortly. We saw further increasing project activity also from the minerals industry. We sold Polycom grinding mill and material handling plants for copper ore in Peru and a Polycom grinding plant and a pellet production line in Brazil. The smaller orders that are typical for the business overall were on a high level as well. And for our sand mining, oil sand mining, we had also a contribution pro rata order intake. The EBIT overall margin continues on exceptionally high levels with a strong operating performance across all businesses and an accumulation of POC milestones for EBIT realization in some higher margin orders. The normalization of the margins is expected to come into place in the next quarters. Components technology on page 26. Sales and order intake continue on a high level, supported by all businesses, driven by Germany, US, and China. In China, after weaker April and May, production and registrations in June again with strong growth. Positive outlook for the automotive industry here also for Q4. Production, especially in most of auto supply businesses, are still close to maximum capacity levels. In the U.S., we decided to reopen there for an iron foundry for automotive components. This comes as a result of increasing customer orders and strategic customer needs. We will start production in Q2, 11, and 12. The full ramp-up will be in the financial year 12-13 and will lead to a capacity increase of around 15% for our casting component businesses. This will result in an impairment reversal that will have a positive effect of around 40 million booked in Q4. The EBIT margin, therefore, is back to Q1 level. Q2 was slightly negatively impacted by warranty provisions. Coming then to page 27, Marine Systems, Q3 highlights. We have a large order intake for 6 submarine material packages from the Turkish Navy, around 2 billion. The order backlog now amounts to around 7 billion, mainly in submarine businesses, which is 5 years of sales for Marine Systems. quarter-on-quarter increase in sales by 260 million, first sales realization for the Turkish order, and sales for work on a meanwhile cancelled Greek submarine order. EBIT Q3 was impacted by several aperiodic items, which account for around 30 million net effect. The efforts for Abu Dhabi Mars ceased to form the joint venture for naval and non-naval shipbuilding business of Flohm & Foss, because both parties believe that the commercial drivers for that transaction have weakened. The scope of the transaction is now related exclusively to the civil activities of HDW Garden in Kiel, but our strategy remains unchanged to focus on naval shipbuilding. We will therefore work continuously without delay on solutions with the aim of transferring the other companies in the medium term to new owners. Therefore, I would come on page 29 to the outlook. And again, let us reconfirm the sales outlook here. The increase by 10 to 15%, rather on the higher end of the range for the year, and the EBIT adjusted guidance of around 2 billion, like already mentioned by Heinrich earlier with his comments. Steel Americas, and with a higher three-digit million, a negative number as our talk. Our value creation program on page 30, we will continue heavily, and we see especially on the portfolio optimization, change management, and performance orientation, no changes. We are constantly heavily working on it, and I can confirm that on the portfolio optimization, we're moving ahead strongly, and we make very good progress so far.
Thank you very much. Operator, please take over.
And the first question comes from the line of Michael Schillaker from Credit Suisse. Your line's now open. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon. I've got a couple of questions, if I may. First, just on the Treasury stock sell down that you did, I guess being advised to sell 10% of the Treasury stock in what was a fairly illiquid market probably wasn't the best result, and I don't think went down particularly well with the investor base. I guess people are clearly looking at management's view in terms of executing to create shareholder value. Looking back at that now, is there anything you did wrong, and would you do anything differently, or would you do exactly the same again given the advice you got? My second question on guidance and run rate. Obviously, the guidance is around 2 billion. I just want to kind of understand your tolerance to that, because to get to 2 billion, you obviously need a stronger number in the fourth quarter, and obviously with seasonal weakness, stainless down, materials probably down, steel I suspect down in the next quarter. What will actually make that up to get a better number in the fourth quarter? And can you give us a little bit of guidance in terms of how you expect to compensate structural improvement in the Americas with a market weakness, and therefore what the sort of run rate you'd expect in the fourth quarter in the Americas would be? And my final question is, it's an admin question in some ways, is I guess Erwin Eichler is up for renewal, his contract is up for renewal in September 2012. As I understand it, this is something that can be acted on a year in advance. So is the desire to actually renew his contract, and is this something that's formally underway at the moment? Thank you very much.
Okay. Let me start with the Treasury stock. When we sold it, nobody could definitely expect what would happen to the financial markets, and this was not the background of it. When we sold the Treasury stock, it is always a wrong part to do and a wrong point in time, and for sure, for shareholders, that is not always very much welcome. Nevertheless, we are glad that we did it and that we could solve it in such a short period in time. And finally did it. Yes, a week later or 2 weeks later, the moment wouldn't have been there, and we could not expect the share price reactions we saw throughout the markets. If you see stock price developments we have seen compared to our peers, indeed, we lost something between 5 to 8%, which would then be close to what we had as a dilution of our earnings, but what happened later on, we couldn't see. So I think we would definitely do it again, because from a strategic point, we do not need it, and therefore the reasons for keeping the stock were gone, and I'm glad that we did it, although, yes, never welcomed by shareholders, I know that. Guidance, it's around 2 billion. Yes, you were listening up some of the challenges we're having, and that doesn't definitely make it easier. It was an ambitious target, and it stays an ambitious target. We think it is achievable, and we strongly go for it.
Coming back to the renewal of my colleague Edwin Eichler, clearly the decision is fully with the supervisory board and not with the managing board. And the earliest possible time, as you do know, will be the supervisory board in November. I can only make it very clear there were some rumors going around that there is different relationship in our management team. This is totally wrong. We really support each other, we challenge each other, and we work closely together to make it a success and get the company on the next level of performance.
Okay, thank you. And just one sort of follow-up question, I guess, or one new question before I disappear. The on the Americas project, I understand you're running at about 80% utilization. What is the time frame to get, you think, now to full capacity?
You know, Michael, we always said it's not the target of the team to go at full capacity, especially now. We have to look carefully in the market, and the team always got the message, you need to optimize the utilization rate and the market demand. And this is especially sensitive now, probably in the weeks and quarter to go forward. So this is really the task we have given to the team, find the optimum point between having the best possible prices and, let's say, shipment on the market price, and on the other hand, finding an optimum curve with the utilization thing. So we do not drive only in one direction.
Okay. All right. Clear enough. Thanks very much. Well done. Thanks.
Thank you, Mike.
And the next question comes from the line of Bastian Zanagovic from Deutsche Bank. The line's now open. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. I've got a couple of questions on Steel Americas. Firstly, what's your progress with the auto customers here? Have you actually contracted any volumes already as of today? And also, what's the progress in the other market segments? Then secondly, aren't you currently mainly producing standard grades? And shouldn't the better product mix help you to improve your margin and also give you actually a little bit more flexibility in how to allocate material in the market now going forward? And then finally, you mentioned that Coke Battery B is running at 70% after Q2. You mentioned it should actually reach 80% over the next weeks, which was already some time ago. So is there anything else which is not running really according to schedule? And maybe you can give us an idea of how much Q3 and Q4 will still be impacted by these effects which have a certain one-off character. Thanks.
Let me start with the contracted volumes. As we already said, in the U.S. market so far, we're just selling on spot and service centers. And this will not change in the short term. So we do not have contracted amounts so far in a volume that is really important. The market segments overall, you're right, they're moving upwards. We have higher grades, and we can sell them at higher grades now as well. Coke Battery B, yes, we were at around 70%, and we're heading towards 80% now. So there is no change on the progress on Coke Battery B. It works like we expected.
If you remember, let's say, when we had our investor visit after Q2, I clearly said we probably might achieve 30% in the first month, which was May, around 60% in the second month, which was June. So with 70% right now, we are even slightly ahead of our original ramp-up curve for battery coffee.
Okay, perfect. One more question actually on stainless. Your numbers were quite good given what had happened in the market, and you booked a 29 million startup loss for the S brand. What is the number of nickel impairments included in that figure, and how much startup losses do you expect in the last quarter?
We indeed had some value adjustments due to the nickel price decrease included in the Q3 numbers, which is indeed the highest we had throughout the year. Biggest part of it. It was a lower two-digit number we had there. What will happen in Q4 is hard to predict because we saw an increase in nickel prices. Then now, the last 2 weeks, decrease again. So it's hard to predict where we go.
Okay, but regarding the startup losses, how much do you expect in the last quarter?
We do not completely guide on this figure, but expect it not to be a major amount and a major change.
Okay, perfect. Thanks.
And the next question comes from the line of Alexander Heisel from Cheuvreux. Your line's now open. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. It's Alex Heisel from Cheuvreux in Frankfurt. I have two questions. The first is also on Steel Americas. There have been quite a few rumors that you have some software-related problems which makes the allocation from the slabs more difficult. Can you please comment on that? And the other question is on the stainless business. Given current market environment on the capital markets as well as in the industry, it seems at least difficult for an IPO and also for a spin-off. Is there a plan C? Because so far, at least I thought plan A and B would rather be an IPO or a spin-off, given the fact that you also want to offload some debt from your balance sheet. Many thanks.
Let me answer for your first question about the slab logistic in Steel Americas. Naturally now, after we have made a significant step forward in ramping up our technical capabilities, it's now we have established now a task force which really includes our steel mill in Alabama, in Duisburg, and definitely also the slab logistic in Brazil to really bring it to the level which we could see in Duisburg so far. So for us, it's nothing serious. For us, it's a normal learning curve, and it didn't make sense to go for such a road before we had a stable output in Brazil. But now, clearly, we need to do so, and also Guido and myself, we do believe that there is also some potential on the net working capital side if this is running, let's say, at a level we do expect for as a normal one.
Yeah. And let me then come to stainless and making it a standalone business. We are very good on track with our current project of carving out the businesses. We nominated the banks. We have the management team in place. And the scope of the whole project did not change, and we will continue. We were facing changes in capital markets in the last years, which are shorter and shorter. So it's hard to predict what will capital markets be in the next year. Therefore, we did not change our scope. And we never excluded anything, so we're open and preparing that we can be ready for IPO and a spin-off without excluding anything else.
Probably one follow-up question on the elevator business. You mentioned that the U.S. and also in Europe, in Spain, market environment is difficult. I mean, assuming that it will not get much better going forward, which measures can you implement or probably have already implemented to bring your margins up? You're still an underperformer, at least compared to Kone. Are there any measures or is it on top of your agenda to push harder on the elevator side going forward? Thank you.
Your comment is clearly, and we are open to benchmark, that we are still around about 2% behind the company you mentioned, but you should also recognize that we improved by 3% from 9 to 12 in the last years. So we are on the road, but as you correctly said, not arriving. Clearly, we cannot fully, let's say, compensate U.S. and Spain in a way that we will see a fast lift up from the 12% where we are. We really have initiated two things. We have initiated a performance program which will defend the margin short term, but you can imagine that the entire elevator team in their mind has a midterm plan to close the gap which you have mentioned. So it includes two things, more short-term reactions to make sure that U.S. and Spain will not, let's say, further sacrifice our margins, and secondly, mid- and long-term plan, which includes the more strategic measures to close the gap to the next competitor.
Many things.
But you know, it's not one big thing, because you know the structure of the elevator business, which is extremely decentralized and probably in a 400 and 500 branch. And so it's more that you define topics and KPIs. You cannot come here and say there is one big measure. You have to tune it, or especially the branch managers, they need to tune it with clear guidance given from the headquarters. What I can tell you, we will give you more insight in that one on the Capital Market Day, which we plan for December, because we know there is a lot of interest getting more details in that businesses. And we do believe that then we are even in a much better phase already to describe you how we want to close the gap.
And on top of that, I would like to mention that we have seen quarter-on-quarter increasing EBIT as a total figure, which showed that the progress on the Asia and Pacific market and with new installations otherwise in the world, the team was working very hard, although these new contracts always come comparably at lower margins in the new installation business. But given that and the stable service businesses throughout the whole world, should give you some certainty on the business.
Many thanks for all the answers. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome.
And the next question comes from the line of Herman Wright from BHF Bank. Your line is now open. Please go ahead with your question.
Yes, hello, gentlemen. There is a major challenge to bridge the current trough in spot market prices in carbon steel. Some related questions. Did Steel Americas follow other steel makers in the U.S. which announced in the last 2 days to increase hot rolled sheet prices by $60 per short ton? Another question, what will be the maintenance effects on production in the current quarter? And what can we, will the company compensate for, say, the late effects of increased raw material prices by the increase of the half-year contract prices? Can you fully compensate for these higher costs in the current quarter by the higher long-term contract prices?
Coming to your first question, naturally, we will try to follow any opportunity on the U.S. market to increase prices. We have two elements, clearly to maximize the price we can gain, but it's also that we now bring in more and more prime material. Guido mentioned already, we are now in a transition phase. The quality which comes out of our finishing line right now in Alabama allows us to really sell not only secondary material, but more and more prime material. So out of both elements, we believe there is some opportunity on the U.S. market, despite, let's say, some weakening signals around. Let's say I did not get fully your point about maintenance, because we are in a complete new situation on the ramp-up phase, so we do not believe that we have any interruption.
No, maintenance in Europe, I think. Maintenance on Europe, I meant.
Okay, in Europe, you're right. In Europe, I think normally use always the summertime, where we see from the market a natural lower demand, always in July, August, to, let's say, really ramp up our maintenance issues. So we do consider this probably slightly lower shipments, but as also Guido said, we strongly believe that we can defend the, let's say, EBITDA per ton. What gives us belief in that? You made the question, what happens on the half-year contracts? We had renewals on 1st of July, and for nearly all our half-year contracts, we could again succeed in increasing the prices. What will remain a challenge is clearly the remaining volume, which is on a monthly or quarterly period, but at least our sales team was again successful for the half-year one to gain more from customers.
Yep. Then another question on plant technology on page 25 of the presentation. It was mentioned that there, in the pipeline there is now many high-margin projects to be built. Can we also expect in the current quarter a similar margin as we have seen in the last two ones?
As I already said, the margins we've seen in Q2 and Q3 are extraordinary high margins, and over the next quarter we will see a decline in the margin. That at least would be expected.
But we clearly always said that the team has a clear task to keep it above a double-digit level. Yeah.
Okay. And then the last similar question to Marine Systems. Can you expect also in the current quarter some of these aperiodic earnings?
As we always said, we expect an underlying EBIT of that business on a normal quarterly basis of $25 million.
And this will be the case in the current quarter?
We will see a bit later on. As you know, there are very often there are one-timers, but you cannot always count on them, so no clear indication here.
Okay, thanks. Thanks for the clear indication. Thank you.
Thank you.
And the next question comes from Rainer Sylvain Brunet from Exane BNP. Your line's now open. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. The first question I had was to get a bit of color from you on the trends that you've witnessed in June, in particular based on the feedback from the materials services, given some of your competitors reported more downside in the June activity. Second question was to get a feel for any quantified windfall effect in Q3. And the last question is to get a sense of the amount of the prepayment contribution in your cash flow generation in Q3. Thank you.
In June, the trend for material services and the order intake overall overall we had pretty strong shipments. They were a bit behind the prior quarter, but they were still strong. You face always in July and August, given to the summer season, then a bit lower shipments you have overall. Windfall profits or not, we do not really guide on that one. It's hard to predict for the upcoming quarters what will be there and not, because this is always heavily impacted by price effects, you see. And you will see on components technologies that we will have a reversal of an impairment we had in a prior quarter on the 40 million, as I already lined out. The prepayments and the influence that this had on the free cash flow, you can see on page 15, a big part of the 775 other effects that made our positive operating cash flow in Q3 were based on incoming prepayments. So as you know, we had the Marine Systems deal, which was on its own already a big portion. That was helpful. But that's a normal part of our business. We get the payments once we sign, and this is part of our normal business, so you cannot say it's an aperiodic or an organic item here.
Thanks so much.
And the next question comes from the line of Carsten Riek from UBS. Your line's now open. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I have a question on the strategic way you outlined. And you said you are in execution mode. Clearly, from my point of view, it's a very difficult market, and the market is potentially not willing to pay the fair values for the assets you want to dispose right now. Could you consider to postpone the one or other deal? Because there are still deals in the pipeline, I believe, Wopaka, Tailored Blanks, and so on and so forth. What is your standpoint here? The second question I have is actually on the foundry business. You said you will reopen one of the foundry businesses in U.S. Is here a risk that an economic downturn could lead to a closure of that facility again? Is it an opportunistic step, or is it a more strategic move? And the question related to it, how dependent is a foundry on only a few customers, let's say the three biggest customers? How much of the sales are they accounting for? Thank you.
Let me come to our strategic way forward. As I already said, we are very well with our progress ahead that we do on realize the sales that we have indicated. It's hard, and so far I don't see any impact or any change, especially as you mentioned Wopaka, with huge interest in Wopaka. On the other hand, it's hard to predict how much turbulence we see on the capital markets today will last. As this project, the sale projects, take some time, I don't know whether we will have to face impacts from that turbulence on the capital markets back on our sales process. So far, I have not experienced anything that would give me an indication in that direction here. On the foundry business, which is Wopaka as well, I can assure you two things. One is the costs that are related to reopening the asset are not of such a size that they will heavily impact our CapEx figures. On the other hand, for components and what we're selling there, we already have orders. So therefore, that was the first question we had internally as well. But as we have orders in place, we have to use on this plant. We are quite sure that we will use it and that we will not go back from that decision. It was not a strategic one. It was really driven by the demand and the signed contracts, the volumes we have.
And definitely we do not give you the insights in our three largest customers, but what I can reassure you that in the last years, our Wopaka business team was really able to diversify clearly from automotive into agriculture and also other industry and customer markets. So we are not only dependent on one end customer segment.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
And the next question comes from the line of Rojas Braunizer from Kappa Capital Markets. Your line's now open. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi everybody. It's Rojas Braunizer from Kepler. Just a few follow-up questions from my side. I want to come to this efficiency point. When I look at stainless at the moment, it appears to me that at least in the second and third quarter, the coupe production was a bit higher than usual compared to the shipment levels. Is this an area where expectations are high that the working capital is being optimized in the fourth quarter? And maybe can you give us an indication what the utilization rate might be on the stainless side? In terms of the loss guidance for the Steel Americas business, can you give us an indication what kind of crude production level and shipments you expect for the fourth quarter based on the maintained guidance you have given based on the guidance you have confirmed? And on the elevator business, I guess the performance in the third quarter is a bit below what has been expected for the second half before. Is it the negative surprise, was this equally coming from the US and Spain? Because I guess Spain was expected to be weak, so maybe can you clarify where the surprise momentum was coming from? And what is the outlook for the order intake in the fourth quarter? I think the order intake was pretty much up in the first two quarters, now down year over year for the first time. So what's the expectations for the fourth quarter? Maybe on Plantec, with the margin obviously turning to more normalized levels, is this something, is the margin probably closer to the 10% or to the levels we have seen in the last two quarters? And maybe finally on the guidance, obviously, it's clear it is an ambitious guidance and obviously has become slightly more ambitious due to the headwinds in the U.S. Where's the confidence coming from that this is still in achievable? Is this coming from the progress you make at CSA? Is it the fourth quarter effect from the non-steel part which gives you some comfort, or is it driven by any short-term measures which have been taken by management to get to the target? Thank you.
Great. Oh, did you hear me? Maybe I start again because I think you were on mute. On stainless, with the crude production, you were right with your assumption that we produced a bit more than we sold and shipped in the last quarter, but we were preparing for the summer break as well. As you know, probably in Italy you have almost a month where you don't have any really strong production, so we were preparing, and that was intended to be like that. For the Americas, if we talk a little bit about the guidance, what we will have at production level in CSA overall, we expect it for the full year to be slightly below 3 million tons, as we indicated beforehand. And in the U.S., we think overall we will not completely reach the 1.5 as we indicated so far. We might be slightly behind that one. On elevator, you're right, Spain was expected to be weaker. The U.S. in Q2, we were a bit more confident on an increase that we see, but we saw that recovery was not taking part as we expected. The order intake for Q4, as we expected, might be slightly below what we've seen in Q3. On plant, you were asking for where exactly we will be between the double-digit range and the 13.9 we see so far. We cannot give you here a clear guidance, but we've seen that Q3 overall compared to Q2 was again a strong quarter that we have experienced, and therefore from that let's take the trend and see how we can develop in Q4. Guidance overall, as you clearly mentioned, it seems, given the surrounding and the environment we're facing so far, a bit more ambitious than it may have looked in Q2. We can support that one, but we do not have one single item where we depend our confidence on. We think that our efforts, as we have seen throughout the quarter so far, will help us throughout all the business areas to come into the guidance of around 2 billion.
What we can clearly add here that all the internal KPIs on our operational level, which we could influence, really do confirm that if the market will stay as we expect, that we have a very good chance to really come and fulfill the guidance. The real risk, and we have openly announced this right now, is really volume and price development. But from the operational KPIs, which are under our own control, it goes clearly in that direction.
Maybe just a follow-up question on working capital. I guess you made some progress in the third quarter on working capital. Probably there's quite more potential for the rest of the year. Can you, you know, I guess previously, earlier this year, you said that you want to reduce the working capital by at least a billion. Is this something where you're still committed to?
As we said, we're targeting to have a free cash flow in the fourth quarter that will be well above 1 billion. And as you can assume, we need from the net working capital a strong support on that one to achieve this goal.
Okay, thanks a lot.
You're welcome, thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Alessandro Abate from JP Morgan. Your line is now open.
Hello to everybody. Just a couple of questions on Steel Americas. You basically say that you're probably not going to be able to achieve the 1.5 million shipments in the fiscal year. I was wondering, on a conservative basis, what actually you can assume for calendar Q4 in terms of shipping, if it's possible, of course, that we get a guidance. And what is the expected shift of mix from commercial quality grades towards high quality grades in calendar Q3 and Q4? And the last one, just going back to the price announcement, price increase announced in the last 2 years, in the last 2 days by US Steel and AK Steel, if in case this price announcement is going to be materialized in the sales price, if you're going to see any kind of potential impact already by the end of Q4, your fiscal Q4, or basically this is something that's going to be shifted entirely into calendar Q4. Thank you.
I think overall, yes, you're right with the 1.5. That sounds a bit ambitious overall. Therefore, we are a bit more conservative here now. But as we always said, our policy is to rather go for price than for volume. And now with having the better qualities and having some signals from the U.S. market that there might be some price increases, you can definitely expect that this is in favor of what we're doing, and we will definitely look to move to higher grades and on a good pricing there rather than focusing on volume.
Yes, but basically, just if you can give a little bit more color about out of these expected shipments into your fiscal Q4, how much can actually be the contribution in terms of shipment, high quality grade, and if you can give a kind of indication on a conservative assumption of what kind of shipment you might be expecting from today's point of view into calendar Q4, and out of this, how much can be actually high quality grade? Thanks.
We can only give you our indication that with our today's judgment on the market that the shipments in Q4 will be at least on the level of Q3, probably slightly higher. But we cannot give you a guidance how successful our sales team will turn the volume into the premium grade, because it's the first time that we are doing this in U.S., and so far we will not comment on this.
Thank you. Just quickly on the potential price increase actually has been announced. Do you see this as any positive effect being shifted completely into calendar Q4, or you might be seeing kind of positive impact on your fiscal Q4? Thanks.
I think we will not comment on these individually. We clearly said, and it was challenged by quite some of you, that the risk, but also the opportunity, let's say, on our guidance is really coming from volume and prices. At the end, I think it will be a mixture out of several things. You referenced to some announcements made by some competitive steel market. We will take it. On the other hand, we have some more challenging environment on the spot prices. So at the end, we will see what is the mixture out of all those factors. I think it would be... We don't have the base facts to give you a firm and, let's say, assessment on this one. I do not believe if anybody doing it today, it has the fundamentals for it.
Thank you very much.
And the next question comes from the line of Alexander Hauenstein from MainFirst Bank. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone. Within Steel Europe, what kind of order development did you see in June compared to May, and especially when you compare July and August compared to June? Have you seen any change apart from the normal seasonality? And a follow-up question on that one, do you expect to see any kind of slowdown from automotive clients' order behavior over the coming months, let's say beyond September at the moment? And if yes, could you quantify this? And the last question, could you give us a bit of an outlook or an idea of the earnings contribution for Steel Americas 2011-12? Do you think it might be able to reach the break-even or not? It sounds for me like probably not, but is this a valid point or anything to add on that? Thank you.
Let me start on July and June order entry development in Steel Europe. As we come into the summer season, we always see a weakening in the order entry here, but what we are facing here is the normal seasonal effect. So, so far we have no indication that there is something else. So we expect a pickup in September, October, like we usually have it throughout the year. Automotive, on our order customers, we still have strong levels of supply, and we do not see any indication that this will change throughout this year. In Steel Europe, we have strong supply there. The Americas, coming back to the fact of the guidance for the next year, as we already said in the last earnings call, we don't want to give a guidance for the next upcoming year. As we are in the phase of ramping up the business, we want to take it from here step by step. We have seen in the past too many promises, and therefore we want to take it up, and there are always things that might happen in one or the other direction. We currently, and we have seen in Q3, that we are on the technical way up on a very good track. We have no major incidents that lead to a slowdown here. We hope we can continue with that throughout the next year, and then we can see how far it takes us.
And the reason why we are careful on this one really is our legacy, the way we did inform you in the past. But on the other hand, you also please remember that by April, May next year, we will also add battery C, and only then we have more or less completed the technical ramp up, and then we will see, let's say, what is the step up of improvement in that level. And especially also now, we have a very good, I think, idea how the technical ramp up will work. We clearly have to watch all the raw material and end market prices before we can then give you a better guidance, let's say, what is our assessment for the full year. And I think when we announce our full year figures early December, we are in a much better position to give you some indication here.
Okay, thank you very much. Pretty clear.
And the next question comes from the line of Anindya Mohinta from Citigroup. Your line is now open.
Thank you. Good afternoon. It's Andy Mohinta from Citi. I've got two questions, please. On Americas, where do you sit on the cost curve at the moment? I mean, if you imagine that you were running at 100%, I know you're not, but just hypothetically, if you were at full utilization, would you still be competitive versus, you know, the Steel Dynamics and some of the more competitive plants that ArcelorMittal operates? Can you give us some sense of where you think you sit on the cost curve in the U.S.? And secondly, it's more on the consolidation and the corporate line. The charges there have been increasing pretty steadily. Now they're in a triple-digit figure. Can you give us some sense of what's going on there, and if you should expect that to be stable going forward, or if you should expect more increases on both corporate and consolidation? Thank you.
Let me first take the Americas. I know it's not only Peru, it's also for me a learning curve that some things do not work faster. But also in our last dialogue, we clearly said we will have two phases. Now, the technical ramp-up probably will be completed somewhere in May, June next year, but then it's exactly the time where we start to optimize the entire setup, meaning how much or which blend of iron ore do we use, which blend of coke, and only, let's probably in the middle, of this phase, then we can really comment to you what is the competitive cost advantage or cost level we can gain in the entire setup in Brazil, let's say, reference to other competitors. Today, as I said again, we clearly believe we have significant potential to improve, but we don't have the fundamentals to clearly say where it will end.
Regarding the consolidation on the corporate line, like in any other line as well, we're challenging that as well, trying to reduce it. But I think you have to take into account that we had one extraordinary item or a special item here in Q3, meaning the effect on the provision we had to take for sale of an entity in prior years of around 20 million. So if you take that out, you have a pretty good line which you can use for the full year, and what we have here as a cost effect for corporate. This will be rather stable on that effect in the short term.
Okay, and can I just ask one follow-up question, please? I think Carsten touched on this, but the question relates to the divestment program. Can you just confirm that with the exception of Wapaka, you haven't so far had any concrete discussions on, you know, the other things like Presta or Bilstein? Can you just give us a sense of where you are with the exception of Wapaka? You've been very clear, but just a sense of the others, please. Thank you.
For the others, we are preparing very much as well, and we have some initial talks as well. But like for what you were mentioning, for example, to get the data, to get the due diligence really done, that you can talk, as we have to combine certain businesses there before, and it takes a bit more of time, but we are well in line with it, and we are approaching investors there.
So that, to make it very clear, for some businesses who are already existing as a standalone, for example, like Servo and others, the dialogues are more advanced. For others like Beach Standing, where we nearly need to carve out first to have, let's say, a transparent business plan, let's say we're still in, let's say, high execution mode, but the approach to possible interesting buyers takes a little longer.
Okay, thank you.
And the next question comes from the line of Neil Sapa from Nomura. Your line's now open.
Good afternoon. Three questions. Firstly, I'd just like to confirm that the 40 million euro positive impairment reversal in component technology, that won't form part of your adjusted EBIT in the fourth quarter. Secondly, in terms of your quarter-on-quarter earnings growth or earnings by division, could you give us a sense of which division you have most confidence in will achieve quarter-on-quarter earnings growth? And then thirdly, is a question around the pace of your deleveraging. I know you scrapped your full-year free cash flow break-even target a little while back, but even if we take off significantly positive free cash flow in the fourth quarter, we're quite a long way away from a free cash flow break-even for the full year. So am I right in thinking that free cash flow generation in the third quarter has been a little bit lower than initially expected? And if so, what was driving that?
Let me start with the 40 million. That's going to be when we will have it. The reversal of the impairment is going to be a special effect in the upcoming quarter then. So on quarter four overall, I don't want to give a clear guidance for all our business areas and where we are exactly to come to a quarter-on-quarter guidance for our business areas. Overall, we're striving and working hard that we can achieve towards our overall guidance around 2 billion so that we are in line. And as Heinrich already mentioned, we're working hard on all operational things we can do to achieve this. The positive free cash flow, on the last Q2 earnings call, we were already mentioning that with the capital market consensus we saw out there then, that was around 0.5, we thought that this will be too positive assumption for the full year, and we see it weaker. The current consensus now is around 1 billion negative, so a break even this year we will not see. And as we said, we expect the free cash flow for Q4 to be well above 1 billion. And I think this is a strong message that we will achieve in Q4.
So you're still happy with that consensus of the 1 billion negative?
Take it from well above 1 billion that we see from the current status, and I think this is already a very strong performance.
Thank you.
And the next question comes from the line of Torsten Zimmermann from HSBC. Your line's now open. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, gentlemen. The first question that I have is also on the cash flow. Last year we have seen the same effect here in the stocking, quite a lot of inventory reduction, which had to be flow back in the first quarter. So the key question of how much of that cash flow do you expect for the fourth quarter? Do you really expect to stick? How much do you expect to flow back in Q1? The second question is on the stainless segment and an earlier question regarding this nickel price impact, where you said you had a lower two-digit impact. If I recall correctly, you had a nickel hedge in place. So the question is this a positive or negative impact? And the third question would be regarding Brazil. Do you have all the environmental permits and everything now in place to ramp the plant fully up? Those are my questions.
Year-end stocking is a typical issue that you see throughout all companies in this world. What I wanted to achieve, and I already announced that in the last quarter, is that we do not do things that do operationally not make sense. And if you see the levels that ThyssenKrupp in the past years was sometimes achieving, it seemed to me that it was a very high level. And I'm working towards levels that we do not do operational things that might hurt the business in the next quarters, and we're well on track there. Having said that, we are confident to get this free cash flow to well above $1 billion, and the net working capital definitely has to contribute to that one. Stainless overall, yes, nickel hedging is in place. If we have end customer contracts, then we do hedge the sale businesses we have there. So we have a hedging strategy that covers all our businesses once we sold something. The nickel you have in your production surplus, you have on hand just where you don't have contracts, there you see changes in the valuation to lower cost of market. And the lower two-digit figure I was mentioning was reflecting changes where we have it on stock and in free products that we have.
On the environmental issue, it's a process which will probably take us maybe years. We have no limitation so far. The limitation on volume was released by end of March. But as I said, it's first of all a staggered project, equipment by equipment, but it's also a long process. I can tell you that we went in contact with other steel plants in Brazil, and some of them are already 10 years in operation and do not have all licenses for each and every equipment. So right now the relationship works well, but the process probably will accompany us for many months, and if I listen to existing steel plants, maybe even years.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And the next question comes from the line of John Rhodes from Barclays Capital. Your line's now open.
Good afternoon. Thanks very much for giving me the opportunity to ask questions. Just a couple of quick things. I just wanted to catch up on this word that you used in response to Mr. Schillicker's question on the buyback or the sell-down of the treasury shares. You called it, from a strategic point of view, you do not need this. Did you refer to this as a tactical point of view? You do not need this, or does this mean that we will not see buybacks in future of treasury shares? It's just a technical point. And then secondly, in clarifying the order book in the submarine business versus the order book in the overall marine systems business, can you just clarify how much of that order book is in proportion to the overall business? And then finally, can you give us an update, well, perhaps finally, on the run rate of the cost savings that you've achieved so far year-to-date on an EBIT level? Thank you.
Maybe let me start with the sale of the treasury shares. This is, compared to buybacks, something completely different. If you have shares on hand here in Germany, they're still around and they're not really deducted. So I know that if you have treasury shares here in Germany, the understanding of treasury shares around that is completely different to what you very often find in the U.S. sphere. Therefore, it was not really like a new capital increase. We just wanted to solve the issue that we had them on hand, they were there, and they were somehow always a question mark, not only to rating agencies, but when we had talks to our shareholder base as well, that people asked, what are you going to do with it? And they were there, and the intention of ThyssenKrupp was to use it for strategic moves in buying new companies or having them on hand to go ahead with portfolio moves. As we have no major moves ahead of us, that's why we decided then to say, let's get rid of that obstacle, of that issue that was always around in discussions with shareholders and rating agencies, and solve that issue as the purpose of holding them was not there anymore. That does not mean that going forward, once we're in a good situation, that buybacks are not possible or will be excluded of what we do. Having said that, there is no view about buyback at all at the current time. Coming back to the order book of Marine Systems, currently that's well about 5 years of production that we have. So we are very glad we have more than $7 billion, which is a very strong order book and guarantees continuous performance of Marine Systems for the submarine business over the years. Our cost programs are well on track, especially in the steel sector. As you see, we had in Q3 an increase in the EBIT, although you could expect that we had some weaknesses and softness in the margin coming out of the higher raw material prices. Having said that, that was supported by the cost cuttings they have in place, but I cannot give you an exact number now that we have group wide.
Okay, so just in terms of the run rate for this year, you projected a run rate of roughly 1.5 to 2 billion euros. Is that pretty much what you're going to achieve on a group level?
So far, I can confirm that we're well on track with our cost-saving program.
Good. Thank you very much.
And the next question comes from the line of Mark Gabriel from Bankhaus Lampe. Your line is now open.
Hey, good afternoon. I have one question. With your guidance for the reduction in the positive free cash flow of above 1 billion, are you targeting a net debt situation below around 4 billion for the fiscal year?
I mean, taking it from where we are and taking a free cash flow of well above 1 billion, I think you can do the math on your own,
yeah.
But I would be in the same range if I do it.
Okay, thank you.
And the final question comes from line of Alexander Heisler from Cheuvreux. Your line's now open.
Hello, it's Alexander Heisler again from Cheuvreux. I have just one quick follow-up question. Can you just give us the slab volume that you purchase externally in Europe and the volume that is currently shipped from Brazil to Europe? And can you give an indication, is there a cost advantage if you source it basically out of Brazil versus market?
Right now you can, it's obvious that we do not have a cost advantage because, you know, we have ramp-up losses in USA, but what is made sure that it has no negative impact to the Steel Europe because the trading between Brazil and Germany or any other place, even also the US, is done on fair market values. We have to do it for tax reasons in any case. But openly, it is clear that today we do not produce slabs in Brazil on competitive market levels. We are still in the ramp-up phase.
Yeah. Yeah. And as you see that the shipments in the U.S. were quite below what we produced in Brazil, it's fair to assume that the biggest part of the difference went to Europe.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. I assume this was then the last question. Thank you very much to you all for attending the conference call, for asking a question. One remark from the IR side, Heinrich has already mentioned that there will be a capital markets day in December. We will send out next week, Monday, the save the date announcement. And we hope that you pencil it into your schedules, and we are looking very much forward then to seeing you at the Capital Markets Day in December. Well, thank you very much, and if you might have any further questions, please come back to us in the IR department. Next week we will be on the road, and some of you can see us on Monday in London. Thank you very much.